Thank you, Brother Vogel. Let's get our Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 12. And Doug, can you help pass out the worksheets? Thank you. Hebrews chapter 12, we're continuing our study, when you can't just get over it. Sometimes people say, well, you just got to get over it. But sometimes you feel like you just can't just get over it. And so we're going to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're looking at it from different... There is a similarity, because we're sticking to one topic. We're looking at it, different aspects of things, and maybe from little different angles, trying to help us to understand, perceive, learn, grow, make some choices about how we live our life, especially our Christian life. So we're going to Hebrews chapter 12, and this morning we're going to look at this topic, banishing bitterness. Basically dealing with it, getting over it, getting beyond it. And for our text, we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 12, at verse 12, and read down to verse 17. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll begin reading in verse number 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but hard time talking today. But let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man, now watch this phrase, fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So we're going to talk about this idea about banishing bitterness. And we're really zeroing in on verse 15, where it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. We'll kind of talk about what exactly the understanding of that is. But notice the second half of this verse. Lest any root of bitterness springing up. So he's talking about two aspects here. Something that's going down, something that's coming up. Root is what's going into the ground. From that root, something is springing up. So let me give you a phrase, and the phrase, we're going to really build a lesson around this phrase in different aspects. So it's three words, ready? So here's the whole Sunday school lesson. If you get nothing else, get these three words. Ready? Roots bear fruit. Roots bear fruit. So that's what we're going to focus on, this idea about bitterness. So we have to know that whatever we allow to take root in our life is going to bear fruit in our life. Whatever we let get in there and start growing, it's going to start producing fruit, some outcome, some consequence, some behavior, some reaction. Something's coming out of it. Now, there's both a positive and a negative application to this. So just because something goes in and bears fruit doesn't make it wrong. That's just the understanding. Whatever we allow in comes out. So that could be positive or it could be negative. Now, the idea of bitterness, obviously, is negative, but let's look on the positive side to begin with. In Jeremiah 17, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a true tree planted. That would be the root part. Okay, it's planted. The roots are going down. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf, now that's the fruit, that's what's coming out of the root, you know, the trunk, the branches, the leaf. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So that's a positive aspect, positive application. If we put good roots in our life, trusting in the Lord, living for the Lord, those are good roots, and they produce good fruit. So if I put my roots deep down in the Bible, deep down in the Lord, it's going to produce good fruit in my life. So that's a positive application. But there's also the negative application. And obviously we'll see this in bitterness, but I'll give you another one just by way of introduction. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and in many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, watch, is the root of all evil. Now we're talking about something goes, it gets inside of us, this love for money, this craving for money, this desire to have it. That's what it means in verse 9. They that will be rich, desire to be rich, that's the root. Okay, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith, and now this is the fruit, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So when I let the root of the love of money creep into my heart and life, the fruit that comes out, the Bible says, is many sorrows. So there's a positive and a negative. So we have to decide what we're going to let take root in our lives, because whatever does take root is going to bear fruit. Now, let's make a couple analogies. This is still before we get to the main crux of the message. And once we get to the main ones, we're going to kind of fly through them, because I got 8, which is a lot more than normal, and I got more pages than normal, and I still want to get done on time. Okay? Which is, I think, an important part of the Sunday School Hour, getting done on time. So we can make several observations, several analogies about roots and fruit, and think about it in a spiritual application. Now, this is not the main application. This is just still trying to think about roots and fruit. Okay, so I'm going to give you 3 kind of ways to look at it. Here's the first. When we see the fruit, we know that there are roots. And often those roots cannot be seen. If you go out and you see an apple tree and you see apples on that tree, you know below ground there is roots happening. You may not see the root, but you know the roots are there. I know they're there because the tree is standing up and there's apples being produced from that tree. So whatever is going on in someone's life, there are heart reasons behind it. I may not know what those heart reasons are, but there's reasons beneath that. So when you see someone, some actions in your life, you know that there's heart reasons behind that. So when there's fruit, you know that there are roots. Here's another analogy, another aspect of it is this. Often small roots produce much larger fruit. And when I use the word fruit, I don't mean just the apple itself. I'm talking about everything coming out of the ground. I'm talking about all that's being produced from that root. Okay, not just the actual fruit itself, but all of the fruitfulness that comes from the root. Now, typically, no matter how big, how deep those roots are and how much they go down, what comes out of the ground is much more, typically. I know there are a few exceptions to that. But typically, if you look at an apple tree, you know that there's roots, but the roots don't go down as far as that tree goes up, typically speaking, or whatever tree you're looking at. So often, small roots produce much larger fruit. So the small things in our life can produce much larger things. And if you look on the negative side, small things not dealt with can produce bigger and bigger problems in our life. That's the second analogy. And then there's a third. Roots want to grow deeper and stronger so as to be harder to remove from the ground. The longer it grows, the longer it stays there, those roots get deeper and stronger. And when you do eventually rip those roots out, they cause more and more damage because they've gone down deeper and they've grabbed hold of the ground more so. So the analogy is the longer you wait to deal with your problems, usually the harder it becomes to deal with them. The best time to deal with sin is immediately. As soon as it happens, deal with it right away. Don't let it get rooted into your life. Now, that particular root we're looking at this morning is this root of bitterness. And the Bible says this root of bitterness, look back to verse 15, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, that's the fruit, and thereby many be defiled. So we're talking about this root of bitterness that produces the fruit of trouble and defilement. So I'm going to give you 8 lessons. I'm going to divide it in 2 sections, 4 lessons on each. We're going to talk about the root, and then we're going to talk about the fruit, okay? The root, and then we're going to talk about the fruit. So first, we're going to talk about avoiding the root. Because, make sure that's what it says on yours too. So, we're talking about avoiding the root. The best way to deal with bitterness is not let the root of bitterness hold into your heart. Now, here's the reality of it. Things don't come in your life that's going to tempt you to become bitter. If you think you're just going to skate through life and never have any issues, never have any conflicts, never have any people who do you wrong, you are mistaken. And I'm telling you, everyone here knows that. things have come in your life that are going to, could produce bitterness. Your choice is how much root it's going to take hold in your life. And the longer you wait to deal with it, the harder it's going to be to deal with it. So we need to avoid the root. So how do we do this? Well, let me give you four thoughts about this. Number one is this. Bitterness can come when we think we should be immune to the problems that others have. When those problems come into our life, all of a sudden now it's a problem. I mean, we don't like it when it happens to others, but when it happens to us, well, go back with me to chapter 12, look with me at verse 1. I'll tell you why I'm saying that. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience a race that's set before us. Now, that verse is, and notice the very first word, wherefore. So it's tied back to what was just said. So he says something in chapter 11, and then in chapter 12, wherefore, in other words, the consequence or the thought about this understanding that we can get from this. So when we look at Hebrews chapter 11, sometimes it's called the chapter of faith, a hall of faith, and it's talking about all these people that God used, and they did things by faith. Those are all sound hunky-dory, peachy keen. But if you read through it, you'll notice they all endured difficulty. Whatever happened, there was difficulty involved in what was happening. So they endured difficulty. They had to make hard choices in their walk with God. Now watch this statement. Each of these heroes had reason to be bitter, but they chose to trust God instead. And so the understanding is this. If that's how what happened in their life, it's going to happen in my life. I am not going to live a mature, fruitful Christian life and never have to deal with things that don't that may make me bitter if I don't deal with them right. So just like they dealt with difficult things, difficult situations, difficult people, but yet live by faith, that's true for us. So we cannot think that we're going to be immune to these things that happen to them. If you're in chapter 12, just go back one chapter, chapter 11. Let me just read a couple verses, maybe to illustrate what I'm saying. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And the reason is because he was not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Kind of a adopted son, but not a true son. He was truly born a Jew. Choosing, now watch this, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Well, that can make you bitter. Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, that can make you bitter, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect in the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. That can make you bitter. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. And it goes on and on. And so what I'm saying is this. That these heroes lived a life that had the potential for bitterness. And so do we. And if we think somehow we're going to live the Christian life and never have to deal with situations that have the potential for bitterness, then we're going to be surprised when it happens. So let me give you a couple more statements. Do not think that we will be spared our own trials and our walk with God. Because if I do that, if I'm surprised, well, let me give you a verse. How about this? Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. This is how you deal with it. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad, also exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. But that's a choice. Some people being reproached become bitter. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So I have to understand this is what they went through, this is what I'm going through. And if I don't understand that, if all of a sudden I'm trying to live the Christian life and people are making fun of me, people attack me, people give me a hard time, difficulty comes in my life, if I do not understand that this is a part of the Christian life, I have the potential for bitterness. So I have to know that I'm not immune to these things. How we respond to these problems will determine whether the root of bitterness or the root of faith grows in our hearts. So that's the first, I got the first way to avoid the root. Understand that we're not immune. This is a part of the Christian life. You can't get bitter when people attack you and betray you and backstab you and turn against you just because you're trying to live for Jesus. It's not good, it's not right, it's not proper, but it's true and it does happen. That's the first root to avoid. The second, let's look at now, go back to chapter 12, look with me at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That ties back into the previous thing, but now it adds to it. So it brings us to number 2, which is this. Bitterness can come when we take our eyes off Jesus. Now I'm going to give you this statement. This statement has been a big help to me. I heard it years ago. I've kept it very much in my brain. It's been a very big help. We should not expect people to do for us what God is supposed to do. You're going to get bitter when people don't do what you think they need to do for you. Our needs are not met by people. Whether the people are the people living next door, people living down the street, or the people living in Washington. Our needs are supposed to be met by He who sits on the throne in heaven. Now, when I expect everyone else to meet my needs, instead of looking unto Jesus, I'm going to have bitterness in my life. So we cannot expect people to do for us what God is supposed to do. We can't put our hope and our confidence in man. It always has to be in the Lord. We look unto Him. And if we take our eyes off of Jesus, we are going to become bitter. When we have that wrong expectation, then we are apt to be bitter when it doesn't happen. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Now, God may use people, but it's His choice. You can't demand it. You can't expect it. But you can trust and put your confidence in the Lord. Now, the truth is, God can meet my needs with or without the help of any particular person in meeting that need. And maybe the Lord wants someone to help me meet my needs, and maybe they won't do it. But that's between them and the Lord, not between me and them. So bitterness can come when we take our eyes off of Jesus. That's the second way to have that root of bitterness. One is when I'm not willing to accept what comes my way by living for Jesus. Somehow I should be immune to it. And now it happens and I get bitter. Or I look at people and they disappoint me. And the truth is, if you're... Now, listen carefully, okay? I'm going to say something that hurts. If you're disappointed in people, it's not their fault. It's your fault. Because you had your hope in the wrong. Can you love people? Yes, and you should. But the Lord is the one who is supposed to take care of us. We love people, but we're not supposed to put our confidence in people. We put our confidence in the Lord. Number 3. Go now with me back to chapter 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all, talking about all believers are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. What he's saying is this. If you can live in sin and get away with it, that is bad, bad news for you. Because lost people, you say, well, so-and-so, look how they're living. They don't have any problems. Maybe because they're not born again. Now, their problems are down the road. They're going to face the Lord eventually. We who know God is our Father, God is much more hands-on. And that's what he's saying. If I'm not treating you as my child, maybe it's because you're not my child. So you ought to be concerned about that. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, for the fleshly fathers, our human fathers, for they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. No one likes to get spanked. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So that brings us to our third, which is this. Bitterness can come when we resist God's correction. Butting heads with God is guaranteed to get you a sore head. It's going to change God. You can butt heads with God as much as you want. You're not going to change God's mind. You're going to get a headache. That's about all you're going to get out of it. So when God is dealing with us because of sin in our life and we do not yield to it and God continues... Okay, remember God said to Jonah, go to where? Nineveh. And he said, I'm going to Tarshish. And he got in a boat and God said, you're going to Nineveh. No, I'm not. So he sends a storm and God... And basically Jonah says, I'll sleep through it. No, you won't. So much so the boat's going to sink. So now he's going to get thrown overboard. And he says, I'll drown. I'm going to sleep through the storm. Nope. I'll drown in the storm. Nope. And he gets swallowed by a whale. I will die in the whale's belly. Nope. Took him 3 days and three nights. And finally he said, God, I'm willing to go to Nineveh. And God said, okay, here. And he spit him out on dry ground. And so if you're going to resist God and what God is trying to correct in your life, there's a potential now for bitterness. So believers who refuse to submit to God's leading and follow God's command will be under the chastening hand of God. This is what the Lord does. Not because he hates you, because he loves you. He knows what's best for you. If your child is running towards a busy street and you grab him and he says, ah, you hurt my arm. Well, you know what? I didn't mean to hurt your arm, but I saved your life. And so the Lord does what he does out of love. The way to respond to chastening is repentance, not bitterness. And only repentance will change the chastening. You can get mad as you want about God. Stomp your feet, slam the doors, huff and puff. But the only way you're going to change the chastening is through repentance. There's an old statement that goes like this. The same sun that hardens the clay melts the wax. It's not the sun, it's how you respond to the sun. If you harden, you'll be like the clay. But if you melt, then you'll be like the wax. You can either melt and say, Lord, not my way, but your way. Or you can just, I'm not doing it. And God will just say, yeah, watch this. Number four. So we're talking about avoiding the root. So don't be surprised when things come in your life. It happens to all of us. Don't get mad. Don't get bitter. It happens to all of us. We all have difficult lives in some way or another. Don't get your eyes off of Jesus and put them on man, because every time you do that, you're going to be disappointed and get bitter. When there's things in your life that shouldn't be in your life, and God is dealing with you, don't sit there and just pout and whine. Say, okay, Lord, I'm wrong, you're right. Help me to be right. And here's the fourth. Chapter 12, look at verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed. Well, what's next? Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That brings us to our fourth root to avoid. Number four is this. Bitterness can come when we have the wrong desires and goals. This is similar to number two about putting our eyes on man, but it's different in that if I'm living for things I should not be living for and have my hopes and dreams on things that should not have my hopes and dreams on, and they don't happen, bitterness can come in, but it's because I had the wrong desires and goals. Now let's apply it in a relationship way. Personal relationships that are more focused on how I am treated rather than seeking to live peaceably are more prone to produce bitterness. If my relationships with people is all about what I can get out of it, rather than how can I live peaceably with my fellow man? How can I love them? How can I be nice to them? How can I be kind to them? Because no one is ever going to do for you everything that you want them to do. Again, this is similar to number two, but slightly different. Now, what about our relationship with the Lord? A relationship with God that is more focused on my circumstances than my holiness is more prone to produce bitterness. God, and this is going to surprise a lot of believers, God did not save you so he can make you rich and famous. That's what a lot of believers think. They think that, you know, that because I'm saved, everything now is going to be about me getting more money and a better car and a better house and nicer things and more friends. That's a very carnal way to look at your relationship with the Lord. What the Lord wants is he wants to change you into the image of Jesus Christ. And he's going to take and do whatever is necessary to make that happen. That's what he's working in your life. Holiness, that's his desire. Not wealth. Our American mindset ruins our Christian walk in so many ways. All right, so avoiding the root. These are different things we can avoid so the bitterness doesn't come in. Now here's reality. Bitterness comes in. We all deal with it. None of us have arrived where we never deal with bitterness. Okay? It happens to all of us. Something happens, we're like, oh, I shouldn't have had my eyes off of Jesus, but I did, and now I'm mad, I'm bitter, and I'm upset. Okay. So what we're going to do next is identify the fruit. So the reason that we want to identify the fruit partially is to know, maybe I need to deal with bitterness. Also, if I understand how bad the fruit is, maybe I'd be more tempted to avoid the root. Because why should I avoid the root? Because the fruit is real bad. So how bad is the fruit? This is how bad it is. Go with me to chapter 12 again, verse 15. We'll look at the first part of that verse. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. This does not mean you lose your salvation. But it does have a very significant meaning here. So number five, so we're talking about now what kind of fruit is produced by bitterness. Number five is this. Bitterness hinders our ability to understand and appreciate the grace of God. Now that may not seem like much, but let me tell you, the grace of God is the essential thing in your growth in your Christian life. You begin your Christian life by grace, for by grace are you saved, and everything going forward is by grace. We've never earned anything. Well, we have earned something. It was hell. God saved us from what we earned. Everything else is bonus. All that God does in our life is because of grace. And we do not appreciate it nor understand it because when we become bitter, we just can't perceive it. We fail of the grace of God. God's grace can overcome any situation that could produce bitterness. That's what God's grace can do. But when I fail to seek that grace, not only do I become bitter, but I fail to fully realize the power of God's grace in my life, which is the problem. Because when I could have leaned on his grace and overcome that bitterness, I didn't, so I don't understand how important that grace is. And then later in life, when I really need to understand it, I don't understand because I did not use the opportunity God gave me. The more you learn... Now watch this statement. The more you learn how hard it is to love people and forgive them, which is often a part of bitterness. Someone did something and we can't get beyond it. The more you learn how hard it is to love people, okay, I'm going to give you my obligatory statement because I've said it multiple times. The hardest thing God has ever called us to do is to love people. Okay, that's, I think, the hardest thing. Everything else is kind of easy compared to that. The more you learn how hard it is to love people and forgive them, watch, the more you understand how hard it was for God to love you and forgive you. And you understand how much the grace of God means. Because when you start dealing with people and the Lord and God gives you grace to overcome that, you're thinking, Lord, and I did so much more to you. Wow, all the grace you bestowed on me. So when we let bitterness come into our life, it hinders that ability to understand and appreciate the grace of God. Here's a second fruit that, that comes out if we let this bitterness take root. Back still at verse 15. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now watch the middle part of this verse. Lest, or unless, any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. So here's number six. Here's the second fruit. Bitterness brings additional troubles into your life. Now, the reason we're bitter is because something troubled us. But now we're bitter, the bitterness itself brings additional troubles. The troubles that someone's action brought are increased when we become bitter and respond in that bitterness. It's like someone broke a window in your house and you said, I'll show you, and you go and break all the rest of your windows. You really didn't show them, did you? You just now have more broken windows. That's kind of what happens when we let bitterness take over. It increases the troubles that came into our life. Bitterness always makes a bad situation worse for the one who becomes bitter. Now, we've said it different ways about how you respond that way. We've said, okay, here's an old statement. You cut off your nose to spite your face. I'll teach my face, whack! Really? You did not help yourself, did you? Or here's the one that we say often. When you become bitter, it's like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. You have hurt yourself, not them. And when you become bitter, you haven't taught them a lesson. What you've done is you've just put whatever they did, you just gave it steroids. Now it's increased in your life. So when you let bitterness take root, it troubles you. You're the one who's worse for the bitterness. The other person you're bitter at may not even know, even if they know, they may not care. So you've increased your own trouble. All right, number seven. Now we're moving right along. They said it couldn't be done. Number seven. Back to verse 15 still. So we saw the first part, now we saw the middle part. Now let's look at the last part and go forward. And I'll just begin at the middle. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Now watch. And thereby many be defiled. And then he gives us an example in verse 16, verse 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. And I think the profane person part is what he's applying to Esau. Or profane person as Esau. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. If you don't know the story, he was hungry. He was the oldest son. So when Isaac died, he would be the main inheritor and would be prophetically in the lineage that would eventually bring forth the nation of Israel and Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But he was hungry, and he wanted basically a bowl of soup. Oh, I'm so hungry. I'm going to die. I could eat a horse. Oh, I haven't eaten in the last 5 minutes. I'm so hungry. You know how we get. And Jacob had a whole big pot of soup. And Esau wanted a bowl. And Jacob said, well, you give me your birthright, and I'll give you a bowl. And basically he said, well, what's the good of a birthright if I die of hunger? And God said, you are profane to approach spiritual things in that way. What's good of a birthright? You have the great you are in line of the great prophecies, and it's so little to you, you'd sell it for a bowl of soup? God was not happy about that. So he uses this as an illustration. Profane person for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Why? Because he sold it. Profane that way. And then it says this, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You can cry all you want. You, as my mom used to say, you made your bed, you can lie in it. She was good at statements like that. So here is number seven. Bitterness has consequences far beyond we may ever consider. So God uses Esau as an example of someone who is so focused on one carnal issue that he unknowingly, now watch this, impacted all of his lineage. Because he sold it out for one bowl of soup, it didn't just impact him, it impacted his entire lineage after him. It's like all of a sudden, now I understand prophetically and sovereignty of God and all that. But nonetheless, it God uses man and choices man makes. So you see a big split here. So here comes the lineage coming down from Abraham down to Isaac. Now it would come down to Esau, but now there's a split here. And instead of going Esau, it goes to Jacob. And so now Jacob is in the birthright. And here's Esau and all of his lineage after him, no longer in that prophetic lineage of the nation of Israel or the God's chosen nation and the coming Messiah. So his one carnal issue impacted all of his lineage, and God uses that to say, your bitterness is going to affect a lot more than you, and it's going to do a lot more than what you think it's going to do. Nothing Esau could do after that would ever change the consequence of his action. Now, let me give you this to you quickly. Generations of families have been impacted because of a bitterness in a previous generation that never was settled properly. Two brothers got in an issue about something. They argued about something, and now you have two parts of that family that never communicate. Their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids, they never talk to each other, never sit together in a family union, maybe even go to family union. This split happened two generations ago, but it just harbors and harbors and goes on down. Your bitterness hurts you and hurts others, but may never hurt the one at which you are bitter. So it's not only that are you drinking the poison and hoping they die, you drink the poison and you start passing around all your friends and family, everyone's dying except the one person that you're mad at, and he's just laughing at you. So bitterness has consequences far beyond we may ever consider. And then the last one, number 8. And that picks up all the way, we're going to go to the end of the chapter. Verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now watch the next statement. Let us have grace. Now he talked about bitterness causes us to fail of the grace of God. Now he's saying we need this grace. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So here's number 8. Bitterness hampers our service to God. If you fail of the grace of God and become bitter, then you may not have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. And by that I mean this. The grace gained in dealing with bitterness is the grace needed to serve God properly. Have you ever considered maybe God put you in a situation that you need to deal with because he has something down the road he needs to use you? And this is training ground for that. Brother House used to say, if you can't handle college, how are you going to handle the ministry? I mean, really, if you can't be in a dorm with a bunch of goofy guys who do goofy things because, you know, they're 20 years old. 20-year-olds, people just do goofy things. 19-year-olds, 18-year-olds. Well, they don't never really quit. But anyways, here you're in the dorm, all these goofy guys, and you can't get along with them. How are you going to be in the ministry and get along with people who... These are all sold out trying to live for Jesus. What about this group who aren't even sold out trying to live for Jesus? That's the idea. Bitterness hampers our service to God. Think about Joseph for a moment. Joseph sold by his brothers. If Joseph had become bitter over his brother's treatment, it is likely God could not have used him to save the whole family during that famine. The fact that you don't know how that grace is needed... You say, well, how would I need that grace to serve God later? The fact that you don't know how that grace is needed to serve God is the point. Because you're not going to know how you need that grace until you need it. So how could God use this to serve him down the road? Only God knows. But God is telling us, this is training ground if you're going to serve me later. When you need God's grace, you'll be glad you didn't let bitterness keep it from you. All right, let me give you two statements quickly. You cannot avoid the fruit of bitterness if you allow the root of bitterness to grow in your heart. You say, well, I'm not going to let the fruit happen. It's going to happen if the fruit is automatic if you let the root of bitterness grow. So then the answer is this then. The quicker you pull the root out, the easier it is to remove, and the less destruction it can cause in your life. That's why roots bear fruit. That's the whole lesson right there. Roots bear fruit. All right, we're going to pray.